Hello and welcome to the Fergan. My name is Dan and I'm here to try and make sense of these turbulent times from a heathen perspective. Visit fergan.com for links, information and an archive of past episodes. So here we are back in the Fergan. My name's Dan, for those of you who've never listened before, and this is the Fergan podcast, episode number 17. This episode is going to be a solo monologue about the subject of weird. I think weird is something that all heathens, no matter how new or experienced they might be to the tradition, are aware of, but many who are new to it, it's one of those things that you think it should be easily understood, and it's kind of like heathenry 101 to understand what weird means, what it is. So everyone kind of acts as though they know exactly what it is, when to be honest, I think a lot of people misunderstand it, and I was one of those people for a long time. You know, you have this idea that it's essentially our Northern European equivalent of fate or karma or something like that. It's not quite the same thing, and there are some distinct differences which hopefully I can lay out for you in this episode. So the approach I'm going to take here is that pretty much exactly 5 years ago, long before this podcast began, I was still on Facebook, and I think this was actually just before I left and deleted my Facebook account, and I'd started writing notes. You know, for those of you who don't know, on Facebook you have the ability to write essentially notes, like essays. I don't know if that's still a feature, to be honest. Maybe it isn't. But I started writing a few notes because I thought, well, if I'm going to be on Facebook, I might as well write something of value rather than these kind of short throwaway posts that most people do. So I wrote a fairly short article called Our Worth is Our Weird. And I remember it got quite a good reaction, you know, from my friends. You know, most of my friends are not heathens, not pagans, and they found it quite interesting. I'm going to read that through and I'm just going to comment on it in various places. I think there will be a few aspects of this that I may have got wrong at the time, and maybe my understanding has developed since then. If so, then I'll point that out. But I think for the most part, that this is a pretty good kind of explanation of what weird really is. So here we go. This will mostly be of interest to students of Anglo-Saxon and Teutonic culture and philosophy, though of interest to anyone who tends to be a deep thinker. I've had some personal revelations regarding the concept of weird, or worth, as I've come to see it. Weird. Weird is a key concept in the pre-Christian English mindset, and this extended to all of the Germanic peoples of Europe, if not further. It is regularly translated as fate, but with the caveat that it is more complex and nuanced than the cold determinism of fate, which in its common understanding has no reason or force behind it. I'll start with a concise but useful description of weird. I think, yeah, the first comment I'd make here is that, you know, when we talk about things like fate, and I know that, or as I understand it, fate comes from the Greek philosophical tradition, or the Greek pagan tradition, and when we talk about the fates. So I'm not going to pretend to know exactly what fate really means, and perhaps in some ways it is cognate with weird. But the important thing to kind of note on the outset here is that weird is part of a bigger picture. There is a kind of a metaphysical driving force behind weird. It's not just it's not luck. It's not fortune, although those things do play an aspect in it, particularly fortune, but it's not chaotic, I suppose, is the best way of putting it. There is a rhyme and a reason to it, and there is a driving force. There's a power and energy behind the weave of weird. And this is the best way for anyone trying to grasp what weird really is, to picture it as a weave. You know, it's often depicted as a web or a weave of fabric. I think the weave of fabric is a more apt and fitting metaphor for it, because a weave of fabric creates a larger picture. It creates something beautiful. And not to say that spider webs aren't beautiful in their own accord, but they don't capture as much nuance and deliberate kind of creative force as the weave of a fabric does. So to continue, weird is represented by a Norn goddess. So in the Germanic lore, we have the three Norns, the three goddesses. And one of them is named Weird. And Weird translates as that which has come to be. Her two sisters, Verandi, which, as I say in the article, I'm not sure of its Verdandi's Old English equivalent. Verandi means that which should be, that which is becoming, whereas Skuld, which I believe just translates simply as should, translates as that which should be. So we have Verandi, which is that which is becoming. We have Weird, which is that which has come to be. And we have Skuld, which is that which should be. The three sisters weave reality constantly, enshrining our past, present, and future. So, in a way, when we talk about weird, we're really reducing the entire concept to just one aspect of the wider concept, because weird is just describes that which has come to be. And says nothing of that which has been and that which should be, which are both equally important, because they're, by the time I finished speaking this sentence, that which should be has already come into effect, so it's a constant flowing motion from Verandi to Weird to Skuld. To continue, I find it useful to liken Weird to the butterfly effect. The idea that the smallest, most insignificant event can result in monumental outcomes through a chain of circumstances. A personal example would be that I, a southerner, would not be living up north of England, this is, were it not for the decision of my wife and I to get dogs. Because of our dog ownership, we required a house as opposed to a flat. For Americans, that's an apartment. This made living in the south unaffordable, which made moving north the only viable option. There were a combination of other factors which played into this outcome, but it illustrates my point. We now have a new framework of weird, which is different to that which we'd have if we were still down south. It will redefine our children's future. And indeed it has. In the time that has passed since I wrote this article, the events that have played out due to these decisions within the framework of weird have indeed strongly defined our children's future and our future. Our past decisions, mistakes, victories and failings literally define everything about our current reality. We cannot pick and choose which parts of our current reality we'd do away with without erasing our own past. All we can do is to make decisions in the present, Verandi, without the boundaries defined by our weird, which carry our future, Skuld, in a desirable direction. There is literally no point in regret, according to the law of weird, because even the things we regret in our past have shaped who we are today and will therefore define who we are tomorrow. So I mentioned there, you know, this is me commenting on this article now. I mentioned there about the situation with our dogs and the fact that, you know, just over 7 years ago, we were living in the south of England in a very small home. It was a tiny kind of two-bedroom end of terrace house, which we were paying a lot of money for a month, and it was the cheapest place we could find. We also had great difficulty finding a place to rent that would allow dogs, so our choices were severely limited. So, you know, I'm not, I wouldn't really consider myself a natural dog owner. You know, I've owned two dogs, one of whom passed away a few years ago, sadly, our dog Asken. But we have another dog called Runa, who we've had since she was 8 weeks old, and she's 12 now. So we've had her since she was a puppy. And my wife's a real dog person. She's had dogs all of her life. I will admit, I'll hold my hands up and say that I've complained about owning dogs at times because, you know, those of you who are dog owners will know that they can be a real pain in the ass sometimes. You know, when you get up in the morning and it's tipping it down outside, but you have to walk the dogs because that's the routine. That's what they're used to. They need to go out. They need the exercise, and it's your job to do it. And sometimes you just don't feel like doing it. You know, in my past years, when I might have been hungover occasionally, which is not something I ever am anymore, actually, because I can't stand it. But, you know, it doesn't matter. You still have to get up. You still have to go and walk the dogs. When our dog who passed away, Asken, he passed away a few years ago, and he was really quite ill, and he would shit on our kitchen floor during the night because he became incontinent, you know, and I'd wake up and I'd have to clean that up almost every night. And, you know, I'd complain about it. I'd complain about the situation. You know, why do we have to have dogs? It's so much hassle, you know, this, that, and the other. But put into the context of weird and how this works, as I mentioned, because we had dogs, we had no choice but to seek a house as opposed to a flat or an apartment. That put us out of the price range of living in the south of England, because the only thing we could afford there would have been a flat. So we needed somewhere with a garden, good access to a garden so that we could keep our dogs. So because of that, we were then basically forced to move up north of England where it's cheaper, where we were able to afford to rent a home. And that's exactly what we did. It turned out that shortly after we'd moved up north and we moved into a three-bedroom home, we found out that we were pregnant with our second child. So that was a bit of kind of serendipity, really, but it was good fortune that we had moved, because we certainly wouldn't have had room for that second child in the home down south anyway. So, you know, essentially I can draw a direct line between owning dogs and living in the north. Had we not been dog owners, we wouldn't have ended up living up north. I wouldn't have ended up being a member of the band Winterfilleth, who was based up north. We wouldn't have ended up being able to buy a home, which then would have meant that we probably wouldn't have been able to sell that place and move to where we are now, which is in North Wales, rural North Wales, homesteading. So, you know, as much as I could complain at the time about being a dog owner, had we not owned dogs, we wouldn't be where we are today. And that is the power of weird. It's the ability to recognize that, for better or worse, the things, you know, the things that are happening in your life, which sometimes might be quite unwelcome at the time, are literally defining the path that you are to take into the future. They set the boundaries in which you can move forward. And yes, you still have the ability to make decisions, but those decisions are now within a certain parameters. You know, yes, we could have decided to move almost anywhere. We could have decided to emigrate to another country where we could afford to have a home and that, but we decided to move north. But what we couldn't do, what we were unable to do, was to stay in the south of England. You know, so it just weird define, as I say, weird defines your parameters. It narrows your choices, essentially. It doesn't reduce your choices. It doesn't give you just one path to take, but it reduces your options and gives you a set of forks in the road that you can take, rather than this kind of chaotic situation where you can literally do anything you want. In fact, you're not able to do anything you want. You can only do that which has been ordained by your weird. So I'll continue now. And the next section of this article, is called Worth. So none of the above is any big revelation to those who have studied the concept of weird, though I do find that it is rarely explained or discussed with much clarity. So, at this point, I'm kind of having outlined what weird is as I understand it and as I have studied it. I'm now moving into a section of the article where I kind of elaborate on my own philosophy surrounding weird. So to continue. However, in the last couple of days, I have dug a little deeper whilst pondering events in my life. My newfound understanding rests mainly on the connection between the English words weird and leoth, or worth. They are etymologically related, and I now know why. Now, at this point, I know that there's a risk that someone like my friend Whityard may come in and say, actually, there isn't a particularly strong etymological link there, or he may say, yes, there is. To me, it seemed like an obvious etymological link there, so I ran with it at the time. At this point, I can't say how closely related the words are, but then again, maybe this is a connection which is not widely accepted, but nevertheless is legitimate in some way. One's worth is his honour, his usefulness to the society in which he belongs. And I now believe one's worth is based upon how faithfully he adheres to the diktats of weird. Here's an example to illustrate my point. As a young man in the year 800, you admire your king and wish to serve him. This causes you to train in basic combat. The king hears of your spirit and determination and decides to gift you with the best training possible so that you can enter his elite guard. He knows he will gain a loyal warrior, and you have been given profound combat training. You have also been given the opportunity to serve the king you adore. Years go by and you are part of the king's elite guard, until one day a rival king hears of your skill in combat and offers you gold to switch sides and fight for him against your own king. You take the opportunity. We instinctively know that the figure in this story is dishonourable. But do we know mechanically why he is dishonourable and therefore of little worth? It is because he has upset the flow of weird, scrambled the pattern of its weave, broken the strands of its web. The young man was only in a position to betray his king because of what his king gave to him, skill and opportunity. Everything that the young man won, in brackets gold, by betraying his king, would not have been possible had it not been for the very king he betrayed, both because he was only compelled to begin training in service to his king, unbeknownst to the king, and because the king bolstered the training. Conversely, had the young man trained himself independently of his king, and not through any kind of desire to serve the king, but had then been hired by the king at a later stage, there would have been little dishonour in betraying his first king. So the point I'm making here is that we, in understanding our weird, we are implored to accept what and who has given us the opportunities that we've been given. So in this hypothetical situation, the young man has broken his weird and the weird of society at large by by becoming disloyal to the very king who enabled him to become a fierce warrior in the first place. And as I'll get into later, there are times when some, you know, defying our weird can be the right thing to do, but we have to accept the consequences of that. So to continue the article, our worth as individuals is based upon our ability to work within the flow of weird, to accept that our current circumstance is due to factors in the past. When we try to pretend that we are not who we are because of events or decisions in the past, then we are disrupting the harmony of a web which connects everyone in our society. And this is a really, really key thing about weird. The reason that that we're not able to defy our weird is because the parameters are set as part of everyone else's parameters. A chaotic situation would not allow everyone to do exactly what they want, because the collective weave would not complement itself. It would not work. It would not be cohesive, let's say. So weird ensures that the collective actions and acts and movements and patterns and opportunities and development of a society or a tribe or a nation is in some way ordered, that there is a natural order to it, that it's not chaotic. So where was I? I would even suggest that an entirely undisrupted web of weird would result in the perfect world. The Norns, whether you deem them merely symbolic or as conscious entities, I deem them the latter, have a plan, a vision, and it is perfect. All that they require is for each man and woman to honour the outcome of their own decisions and to show their worth in not defying the strands laid out for them. Imperfection in society arises through defiance of a greater folk vision, the vision of the Norns. So it's this weave of the Norns, and this is why they're called the weavers by some people, or the spinners of fate, or the, you know, they're depicted as the home that we just moved from was a weaver's cottage in the north of England. And, I found it interesting how we had three daughters. And so we were going to rename the house Norn's Cottage in honour of the Norns because of that, because of the connection to weaving and because we had three daughters. But it's actually quite difficult to rename a house in England. I mean, you can put a new kind of plaque on the front of the gate, but it's always going to be known by the number unless you kind of go through this legal process of changing it and stuff. So we never ended up doing that, but there is this, it's always been in my mind that there's this strong connection between the Norns and weaving, and we have to think of them as kind of the creators or the architects of natural order, and they are creating this beautiful pattern which just keeps expanding indefinitely throughout time. And the more that we adhere to our weird, and the more that we the more worth we show by honoring our weird, by recognizing that we are where we are because of what has happened in the past, even if at the time we feel that it wasn't a positive thing, the more that we do that, the more that we can help this grander pattern that is woven by the Norns, the more that we can assist in it being a particularly beautiful pattern which expands, rather than something ugly and compromised because of our defiance of our weird. Right, to continue. This might sound fatalistic, like we have no power to influence our future or better our own lot, but that is absolutely not the case. We are free to make impactful decisions in the present which will shape our future, for the better or worse. We can improve our station in life by making good decisions. However, we do have a framework to operate within, and dishonor only occurs when we try to work outside of it in betraying those things which made our current options available to us. So there is a law to weird, and another way that the norns are depicted are as layers of the law, laying like the dripping of layers of law into a well, the well of weird. And so there is a kind of law which is built through the pattern of weird. We can recognize, when we recognize that we are where we are because of what's happened in the past, then we know, and if we honor the norns and we honor the natural order, then we know that to defy our weird, to make to decisions which defy that which has been provided to us by that which has happened in the past, by Verdandi, we are, in a sense, we're breaking the law. And even if that breaking of the law has no immediate or direct consequences for anyone, and it results in no immediate misfortune for ourselves or anyone around us, because of the way that the pattern expands, it could be that further down the line, our decision to do that, our decision to lie to that person or betray that person, the person that gave us this opportunity, or to ignore our gut instinct, or, you know, just to kind of corrupt and pervert the natural order in some way, is likely to result in crimes against that natural order in the future, even if we can't in the moment see what that crime is going to be. You know, it's kind of like, if anyone's seen the film Minority Report, that very much plays into the concept of weird. And, you know, we have I believe in that film there are, I think there are three, what are they called? Oracles. These kind of strange women who live their whole lives in a pool of water. And they're the ones who are dictating into this kind of high-tech machine what events are going to unfold. And then law enforcement in the future uses that knowledge to prevent crimes from happening before they happen. And that's kind of like, I think that's based on a Philip K. Dick book. So it's a very Gnostic idea and also quite pagan. And it's a very interesting film, and it does play heavily into the concept of weird there. And although I would heavily oppose the idea that we should ever use that kind of technology to solve pre-crimes, I think, as they're called in the film, it does point to this idea that if we understand the pattern of weird, then we can actually predict quite with you know. And I imagine that this is how the seers of our pagan past operated. They were so attuned to the concept of weird, to the patterns being woven, and they had an almost kind of autistic sense of how these patterns would play out, and that enabled them to kind of extrapolate into the future how these decisions being made now, what skuld would come of them, what should be, because of that weird. And that weird is obviously based on Verdandi, what, you know, that which has become. So yeah, and there's elements of Stoicism in this, you know, the Stoic idea that we should not stress about situations which are beyond our control, is a key concept, a key aspect of weird, because even if we find ourselves in a misfortunate situation that we find quite regrettable, even if it's a horrific situation, we know that it is what it is because of decisions made in the past, because of us, or because of people who have an impact on our lives. Maybe even people that we don't know and have never met, and the decisions they have made have caused something in our path to happen a certain way. And, you know, so if we, to be a Stoic is to accept the weave of weird, and to accept that because of that weird, because of what has been laid down in the past, Verdandi, we now only have certain options available to us in the present. That is our weird, to have certain options available to us. And how the decisions that we make in the present will define schooled. They'll define what should be in the future. So to finish this article off, honor is worth is weird. The three are connected. We are only of worth to the greater good of society if we honour our weird. That means we must pay heed to those people and things which gave us a good circumstance, gave us as good a circumstance as we have, and not betray them.
Thank you.
So that was my song called The Firebow by my project Walkensman. Some of you might have heard that before. And the reason I chose that song is because it's lyrically essentially deals with the concept of weird. It deals with the hidden connection between man and nature, you know, the hidden signs in nature and how even just the changing of the seasons or the changing state of wood into firewood can affect the kind of intricacies of the pattern of weird, of the natural order, and how to be attuned to those things, the wise man can come to know, what's the line in that song? And he would know the rhyme and reed, the rhyme and reed of a foe, I think it is. It's difficult remembering your own lyrics when they're not being sung. But yeah, that line, he would know the rhyme and reed of a foe. That's based on this idea that to be in tune with nature, to be a pagan, to be a heathen, means that you can tap into this knowledge. So anyway, that was my article, Our Worth is Our Weird. And 5 years on from that, I just want to add some kind of comments because a lot has happened in my life over the last few years, which has given me an even deeper understanding of weird. I see our actions that we take in the present as opening certain channels. Yeah, and I did. I talked with Frodi Midjord for his Decameron Film Festival about the film Donnie Darko, and in that film you have there are certain scenes where certain characters have this kind of this orb, this kind of like snake-like orb thing that comes out of their chest and predetermines what path they're going to walk, and it's used to show them walking around a house. And I kind of see weird in that sort of way, in the sense that we're opening up channels that become available to us, pathways. The difference is that there isn't just one pathway. It's not fate. There's no predetermination, but we have a set of pathways open to us because of the decisions made in the past. And you know, have you ever been in a situation where you've got a very difficult decision to make? Something has happened. Something's gone wrong in your life, and you now have to sit down and work out where to go from here. And you kind of, if you're as methodical as I am, you sit down and you go, right, these are my only choices. I can either do this, I can do that, or I can do that. Which one is the best path for me? Which one is going to cause the least disruption to the people around me? Which one is going to provide the most opportunity in the future? Which one is safest, you know? And this is how we should use our understanding of weird, to know that, you know, we can't change our current circumstance because that's a result of everything that has gone before. But what we can do is make good decisions from this point onwards to define schooled, to define that which should be. Also, it's not just our actions which determine our weird. This is something that I've come to realize recently. I have been in a situation in my life over the last year or so where I have decided to declare my willingness to make certain sizable compromises. And because I declared openly my willingness to make those compromises, to make those sacrifices, what it seems to have done is to ensure that those compromises would be made. So at the time, I might have thought that I was just trying to be agreeable, that I was trying to be easygoing for the sake of the people around me, to not be too kind of stubborn or hard-headed about my own desires for what I want for myself and my family's future. And in an attempt to be quite kind of agreeable, I declared that I was willing to make certain compromises. A year later, roughly, I've found that those compromises have indeed been made. You know, at the time, I thought there was perhaps only a slim chance that I would have to make those compromises. But because I declared them, I essentially opened up those channels. I opened up those threads, those pathways to allow for those compromises to be made. And I think there's a powerful knowledge in that, because if you, and unless you absolutely are willing to make certain compromises in life, don't declare them. Don't declare your willingness to make them. Unless you are 100% certain that you will be content with certain compromises and sacrifices, do not declare your willingness to make them. Remain stubborn, remain firm, even if it means that in the moment, in the present, you look like, a bull-headed git, as we say in England. And that's something that, you know, when you're a considerate person, when you're considerate to those around you, not many of us want to be considered to be a bull-headed git. You know, we want to be seen to be reasonable. But in an effort to be reasonable, sometimes we sacrifice too much. And not just in our actions, you know, sacrifice isn't just in what you do, but it's in what you say you're willing to do. And I think this is where boasts and symbol and oaths come in. If you say that you're going to do something, then you do it. And if you say that you're willing to do something, then you better be ready for an outcome which involves you having done that thing. And that may very well redefine your entire future in quite a drastic way. And this is what I found. I've also, to speak a little bit more about my own personal circumstance, I think, I believe now that I have actually defied my weird. And I'm not particularly proud to say that, because I think that wherever possible, we should always work within our weird. And how I know or suspect that I have defied my weird is that I didn't listen to my gut instinct. You know, there were times over the last year where my gut was telling me that this path that I was on may not be the correct one. But out of stubbornness and an unwillingness to accept that everything that I'd done, everything that I'd worked towards might have been in vain, I continued down a path. Obviously, if the path hadn't been open to me, then it wouldn't have been in any way connected to my weird. But I don't think that it was one of the more beautiful weaves that could have been woven in my weird. That said, I do think that sometimes it is correct, it is right to defy your weird, or certainly to force your weird in a certain direction. I think that's probably the best way of describing what I've done. I forced my weird in a certain way. Rather than taking the path of least resistance, I took a path of greater resistance. And I think the Norns were probably looking upon me, wondering what the hell I was doing to their weave when I did that, wondering why I was creating this kind of less obvious, perhaps less harmonious pattern in the wider weave of weird. But I was doing it for good reason, and ultimately I think I'm glad that I did it, because I think what it's done is probably to define a whole new pattern of weird in my life and that of my family. And although I think that initially it will pose certain hardships for us, I think that's a sacrifice worth having made, because the way I see it is almost that we were part of this beautiful pattern prior to this. But because of the way that the world has changed with this so-called Great Reset, you know, just about 2.5 years ago, I could either be subsumed into, you know, their pattern. And when I say they, I mean the misleaders of the world. You know, I could either continue to be part of a pattern which is more closely connected to them, or I could kind of forcibly break out into a new pattern, which is essentially what I feel that I've done. And I do feel that I do have the blessing of the gods, the ancestors, the Norns, because, you know, and I detailed this in a short voice note in my in the private Telegram Fergan chat recently. In wondering whether I've made the right decision in my life, I walked out into you know, this kind of sacred area in you know, upon the land where I live now, and I took my bag of rune staves. And I've not worked with my rune staves in many years. You know, I made them myself about 8 years ago, I think, from the branch of an apple tree from my father's garden. And I did mix a small amount of my blood into the red ochre, which I used to stain the runes. But, you know, runic kind of divination and casting the runes has not been part of my practice very much. It's not been a regular part of my practice. And that's regrettable, particularly in light of what occurred recently, which is that I went out with my bag of runes. I stood facing north, and I asked the questions, you know, without going into detail, I asked the question, is this how it is meant to be? Is this how my life and my family situation is meant to be? Are we meant to be in this situation? And I simply pulled out, reached into the bag, pulled out a rune, cast it onto the ground in front of me. And what I pulled out was the Need rune. Initially, I mistook it for the Gifu rune, the gift rune, because of, you know, the way that I'd scored the rune. It looked kind of like an X, like a Gifu rune. But actually, it was the Need rune. So, but even mistaking it for the Gifu rune has an immense kind of reason to it, because the answer to my question there, is this how things are meant to be, was that this is how things need to be for you. This is how your situation needs to be. You're here because you need this. That's how I interpret it. And I if it had been a Gifu rune, which is what I initially mistook it for, then I would take that as meaning that this situation is a gift. These circumstances that you are in now are a gift. And it's difficult for me to, you know, I pondered on this for a while, you know, after I'd finished kind of laughing about the situation, because I couldn't believe the clarity of the answer that I'd been given. And I wondered, was there another rune that I could have pulled out which would have given me a more clear answer to my question? And to this day, I can't think of one. And it's not because that's the answer I wanted at all. I just, you know, I mean, if you can think of another rune which would have given me a clearer answer to that question that I asked, please let me know. Send me a message through fergan.com on the contact page, or leave a comment under the Odyssey video of this podcast, or whatever, or on Substack, or Subscribestore or Patreon. Leave a comment, please, because I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. So the outcome of it all is that, you know, it's been a turbulent time for me, particularly this last year. And at times I've wondered whether I've been doing the right thing. And I had an answer to that. And even though I think that I may have kind of forcibly broken my weird, in a sense, I don't think broken's the right word. As I say, I think even though I forced a new pattern, I think that's the best way of putting it, by taking a path of more resistance, of greater resistance, which is not something that I think we should generally seek to do in our lives. But then again, perhaps the actions of great men throughout history are the result of those men in some sense defying their weird by taking the path of greater resistance. So anyway, with that, I'll end this presentation on weird, and hopefully I've been quite kind of lucid in how I've described that, and hopefully, you know, I'm sure some of you out there have a really deep understanding of weird, and perhaps what I've said here meshes with what you understand of weird. Perhaps you've got other ideas, and I'd love to hear your other ideas about this. Or for those of you who maybe didn't have such an understanding of weird, I hope that this has given you some greater insight into it and some food for thought. As I often do, I would highly recommend the book The Way of Weird by Brian Bates, because there are a lot of very good depictions of the power of weird in that book. And I think probably more than any other book, that has helped me to understand weird as it really is, rather than the kind of popular misconception of it being fate or karma. So with that, I'll move on to the riddle section. So this is where I read a riddle from the Exeter Riddle Book, a collection of old English riddles. The last episode we had my friend Whityard very kindly read out the riddle in its original old English form, and I then read it in its modern English form. And that was riddle number 16. I must fight with the waves whipped up by the wind, contending alone with their force combined. When I dive to earth under the sea, my own country is unknown to me. So yeah, the answer to that one is anchor. And, you know, in reading those first few lines of the riddle, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Diving to earth under the sea. If I can stay still, I'm strong in the fray. Intending to plunder what I must protect. I can foil them if my fins are not frail, and the rocks hold firm against my force. So, yeah, that was a good one. I like that one. So, riddle number 17 for this podcast episode number 17 is as follows. Bear with me, I just lost the page. All right. Confined by a wire fence, filled with brave treasures, I'm the bulwark of my people. Many is the morning I spew spear terror. The more I'm fed, the greater my strength. My guardian controls the flight of arrows from my belly. At times I almost swallow the burnished, dark bolts, the baleful weapons. Searing poison spears esteemed by warriors. A man remembers what issues from my mouth. I'll read that again because it's just a short one. Confined by a wire fence filled with brave treasures, I am the bulwark of my people. Many is the morning I spew spear terror. The more I'm fed, the greater my strength. My guardian controls the flight of arrows from my belly. At times I almost swallow the burnished, dark bolts, the baleful weapons, searing poison spears esteemed by warriors. A man remembers what issues from my mouth. Now, I haven't done this before, but I'm going to just say what I think that one is, which is a bow, a long bow, you know, that propels arrows, confined by a wire fence. You know, I can only think that that is the string of the bow. I spew spear terror. The more I'm fed, the greater my strength. So the more deadly, I guess, the more deadly the bow, a bow is more deadly, the more arrows it is fed, it that it shoots. And then it also uses the kind of metaphor of the bow being a mouth in the last line, where it says a man remembers what issues from my mouth. You know, a man shot by an arrow is obviously not going to forget that. So yeah, another, that's a good one. Another, I've enjoyed those last two. But anyway, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Fergan podcast, and I hope you've been enjoying the series so far. It's amazing to think that we're on episode number 17 now. And in another couple of episodes, I shall do another Ask Me Anything AMA. So I'll put some messages out on on Telegram and in Subscribestar, Substack, and Patreon for those who want to ask any questions or have me discuss anything particular. So, yeah, please remember that, you know, I'm able to do this podcast because of the generous assistance of those who are patrons. And I know that not everyone can afford to be, especially during these times. And obviously, I don't expect everyone to be able to donate. So please don't feel obliged to do that. But if you are able to, then it does enable me to do this. You know, I don't have a great deal of subscribers or patrons. I'm very, very grateful to those of you who do subscribe, who do donate a little bit of money to this endeavor, because it allows me to keep doing it. But yeah, as I say, I know that not everyone is able to, and this podcast will continue to be free to all. It's just that those who assist it get to hear it a little bit early. That's all. But anyway, I hope you all remain well until I speak to you in the next episode of The Fergan.